Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Finding bits of bone in this faraway land. You're back again, barefoot in seaweed sand. You were a very shy man. You had very strong.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Somebody once asked me, because I had just seen her actually last Sunday downtown. It was really a pretty cool show. She was doing some of her new music. And without comparisons, I would say her voice would definitely span from the Twirling Highs to the Low of Blues. This is with her new music, of course. And her songs will definitely have many layerings, within her rock. At times, like I said, with some blues and folk. She, of course, even scratched a tad of some country. But when you hear her music, and her, especially her new music, as it will be coming out in this summer, what's more compelling is her words within her songs. They are both not only intoxicating, but they definitely have a special message. And indeed, each song is very unique, much like her, the artist. So I know once you listen to it, it's like you don't even have to change the channel or change the station. You got so definitely keep you up to date on when she comes out. And of course, this is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Apologize for my throat. It's a little bit on the sore side, trying to recover from last week. Of course, we didn't air last week. We had a minor glitch. Seems maybe perhaps some of our producers forgot to take their Viagra and just couldn't get us up last week, so to speak. So now that all the technical difficulties have been revamped and re-prescribed, as they can say, everything's all cool. So, anyway, I got a lot of things I want to talk about. I know last week I had, and like I said, I'm resuming on what the show is going to talk about. I know it's going to be, to some people, pretty existential in some respect. But I do want to come to talk about a couple other things that are embarking within the road within the future and what's actually happening right now. As you know, my new book, Spirit, it is out and about. And definitely check it out. You can, it'll give you a thrill while giving you an experience of what it's actually like going out of body. Of course, you can listen to my past shows about going out of body, going astral projection. It is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and other local and online sites. Of course, you can go to andrewspirit.com. That is the direct link, direct website to my book, and you can read about it and check it out. And also, I have a new website, so do check that out. It talks about, gets into aspects. Click onto where my new film that is coming out with my partner and I, and definitely will have some major implications as well as a profound message. That is called The People of Peace, A Message from the Hopi. And that will be coming out in the near future. And also, while you're at it, if you have anything on your mind or have a question or comment, or feel free to ask, and send your email to flyingpigs@artlover.com. And once again, I want to thank you all for listening, all future listeners, and, of course, those who listen on the archive down the road or past, present, future, in time, all relevant. And speaking of time, next week, as it is, and I guess it's called the spring equinox, well, I have my quarterly analysis we're going to get from my personal astrologer. And, of course, she'll do an analysis. Carrie Fezza, you've probably heard her many times. Every quarter I have her come on and give us the lowdown on what we're expecting. She's been highly accurate. As you can tell from her last, if you listen to any of her shows, it's been extraordinarily accurate. Even when I had her back in the day before the elections happened, she actually explained who Obama was, who Edwards and Clinton and everybody. And she was amazingly accurate on that. Do check out her website. It is zodiacbuzz.com. It is free. Check it out. And if you want to get a reading or analysis done, her contact information is there. But do check out zodiacbuzz.com. It has what's happening also regarding updates astrologically. And again, I want to thank you all. Now, I will say this. I know most people out there, when I start to say this, because I've had said it before, it's going to sound very callous and very cold. but it is spiritually in its correctness. There is no PC error, no political correctness, because, you know, when I say it's when pigs fly, I'm really just telling you the way it is. I'm not trying to kumbaya, to telling you how it is in real. I'm not going to play the games of the hate, and this is my side, that's their side, because to me that's immature and that's all pure BS. I do not get into the thing where I say, you know, how I show how some people want to stay in one corner of the ring and another one another, and they want to continue a boxing match. To me, that's sort of a waste of energy for me, but I just show it how it is, as you've heard in many of my shows. But I will tell what I think, and I don't try to put myself within any little, whether it's a round circle, square circle, or square, whatever. As I say, peg and groove here. But what I'm about to talk about was said about my late and most profound teacher and healer, Janae St. Clair. She said it pretty much not once, but several times, I remember, in your classes and to people in general. And it does have a profound effect and understanding of what the reality is within the soul, within the human spirit, what your experience, what you're doing in this lifetime, and what it has to do with your future experiences, with your karma, and taking ownership, as someone would say, and taking responsibility, at the same token, learning to heal. And what she would say was, she had said there are no victims, they're only volunteers. Plain and simple. I make 400 books about it when I can just say it in one sentence, right? Some people like to make things all expanded. But it's the fact. There are no victims in reality. You know, they're only volunteers. Now, you're going to say, well, what about the rape victim? What about the people who happened in Haiti? Or what happened here and there around the world? You know, whatever the situation. In reality, in the spiritual context of things, which is the real, there are no victims because they volunteered it. In reality of your own soul, it's called co-creation and karma. You create these things. Your life patterns in this lifetime and things amongst you, amongst all society, amongst all souls, is called co-creation and karmic events. Thus, it is not a victim, it's a volunteer, because you volunteered your energy, your direction, your choice. So the reality of the soul, like I said, it's about co-creation and karma. In Hebrew, they would say tikkun, which is to correct things, which is the same thing as karma. It is karma. Now, Janae St. Clair used to say a really most profound thing that really, when I tell other people, it's sort of, I feel really honored to continue what she had said, because it's ironic. Let me just say one thing. The reference that some people have always heard, that they say love and light, she was the one who started that. More than, what, like 30, 40 years ago? She used to always say love and light. And it's sort of funny how a lot of her sentences that she had passed down had, like, all manifested around the world, because there are so many people who basically, like the pebble in the water, it continued on. But she had said something that also that seems to reverberate. You know, she never wrote a book, which too bad she never did. This information was passed down, and, you know, sequestered. She never took ownership of, she was passing it down, which is the correct thing. You know, even if you give out information, you're only the vessel for giving out the information. Like, the information there is not me. That's what I'm saying. It's passing it on. And then you pass it on, and somebody else passes it on. So anyway, getting back to an understanding. She had said that when you die, Your soul goes into the universe, correct? You're up there, or wherever. There's no really up there. You're within the spiritual realm, another vortex energy. And before you come into, you decide as a soul, in your oversoul, decide to embark back into a new embodiment. That's the birth. You lay out your whole life in front of you. Not to the very T of it, because it's called still karmic and co-creation and destiny and things like that. But your life is made up like a paint-by-number chart. What I mean is you have certain destiny things that will happen, certain effects that you decided to create that will happen. And, of course, depending on what direction that goes, it makes that choice to turn left, right, and continue on that path, which creates a new situation. But it is a paint-by-numbers. It's like a situation. Let's say you chose to be into a very impoverished area, life. So you choose your parents. You have a father that's basically, let's say, your mother that has addictive alcoholism or an abusive or whatever. I'm talking the worst scenario. I'm giving worst scenarios here. You chose that. Yeah. You chose to get into that body, that realm. Now, it's called color by numbers, meaning when you got there, your reaction to it is how you fill the color in. That's why it's paint by numbers. Then you just created your karmic thing again because it's your reaction. So, for example, if you're born in a real impoverished area or, you know, not too good area and you have a lot of obstacles within your life, or I don't call obstacles, but let's say, yeah, I guess you call obstacles because you're really not, I don't like call walls because walls are like fair, but because they're really a reality, they're no walls. You just have to obstacles. Either go over them, through them, or take them as a reality. How you meet them. If you decide to be, you're born in, let's say, like South Central LA back in the, and it's during, you know, high in your area with a lot of gangbangers and there's a lot of violence, do you choose to join the gang or do you choose to go to the high road, even though that'd be harder? If you are born in a situation you're beaten, raped as a little kid and all that stuff, what is your reaction from that? So you've chosen that. Even though you're a victim, yes, and you're a mind in this little realm you think is the reality of being that you're a victim, but in reality, you actually chose it. I know it's hard to say that, but it is the reality. And what it is, it's to allow you to learn to grow from that. And your reaction from that. And then there's other information that maybe from that is because it teaches you to help somebody else who goes through that to help them heal. So then you have an understanding of what that's like. So there's many levels of it. See, we co-create this. Like I said, I'm repeating a lot of things because we create these and we created our lives literally when we enter these embodiments. And what is it for? To experience. To experience every moment, to heal, to learn to grow, to love, to learn to love. It gives us the opportunity to increase our frequency with our own soul's matrix. You can left turn, right turn. Walk toward the light and increase your vibration. Walk toward the dark and drop it down. It's about a choice. And just as the choice that we came in these embodiments is also the choice of the situation. And then there's also reflective situations, which were called of the victimization, and people consider, oh, poor me, all that stuff, but I'll get into that a little bit. But there's another example why there are people who are in, let's see, living in hard situations, whether they're sick, blind, handicapped. And what is that for? I remember there was a famous sage who once said the reason why they're sick, handicapped, or whatever, is to appreciate. It's to have grace, to be thankful for what you have. It's like they say, you see the blind man, thank you for I have sight. You see a person who can't walk, he's in a wheelchair, thank God I have legs. I may not even, you know. You see a person living homeless, you say, thank God I have a roof over my head. You see the person starving, you go, thank God I have food in my stomach. And not unless they say God, and I'm just using the grab, but think the universe, think whatever your reflection of the universe is. Whatever nomenclature, it's sort of funny because somebody asked me, so what is God? And I got into infinity, and he says, well, isn't God like a person? I said, yeah, but that's a whole other story. But just to show appreciation, that is another example of people being in situations. It's also giving an opportunity to show a loving humanity. Example, Haiti. Example, what's happened in Chile. If humanity comes together, that gives the opportunity for humanity to come together showing love toward their fellow man. It's an opportunity. So while many will think it is a victim as victims, in reality it is not. It is choice. It is co-created. All elements are co-created. And when I also use the word co-created is because co referring to, it's not like you or me or anybody. Co-create could be creating because you create your own life and situations, but there's also universal energies. Like if you have did something and you have to, didn't really learn from it, so you sort of choose it on your oversoul, and the universe says, okay, here's what we're going to do, buddy. If you want to separate that, teach, and we're going to teach you, so when next time you come back in this lifetime, you didn't learn the lesson the first time, we're going to teach you again. And you go, okay, I'm going to go do that. I'm going to learn again because I sort of screwed up. So then you go back into it. So therefore, it's the co-creation. And that's basically what it is. I know I'm being simplified, but in reality, it is indeed simple. It's nothing really extraordinary. So everything's about choice. We choose everything. Every little step, even the lack of choice. When somebody says, I didn't choose it. Yeah, you did. You choose not to choose it. It's like the person who says, I remember they say about salesmen. What was the first thing they say? Oh, man, I can't. And everybody's a salesman because they're always trying to sell something, trying to convince somebody, like, right? Like even then you can say, Andy, you're trying to sell me. Somebody's selling me, and then the person says, but I'm not a salesman. So that person says, well, aren't you now trying to sell me that you can't sell? So everybody, in a way. So it's just sort of the same thing. You're always choosing no matter what. Everybody is choosing. And it's our responsibility to accept that choice, first of all. Because if you can't accept it, you haven't learned the very first thing, and you guess what? You're going to repeat it all over again. You know how people can have the same stupid merry-go-round lessons over and over and over again. Some people will, you know, be involved, they're have a come in a lifetime where they have an abusive parents, and next thing you know, what do they marry? An abusive parent. And then they get beaten up by some guy or whatever, and then next relation they have another one who beats them up because they haven't learned. And they aren't victims. Rihanna's not a victim. None of them are victims. They volunteered it. Sorry. Everybody in spiritually volunteers. Everybody. Me. Everybody. Even in the Holocaust, the Jews volunteered. Yeah. Oh, Nazi, oh, poor them. It was. I'm Jewish. I'm telling you. They volunteered. Not by standing up. By a lot of things. There's a lot of spiritual contexts that were involved. Nobody, everybody volunteers. The Arabs, the Palestinians, the Israelis, the Jews, the Native Americans. Hell yeah, they chose. they chose to fight amongst themselves and allow themselves to get their asses kicked and pushed off their land and shoved in reservations. That's choice. And part of the problem is victimization, is choosing to be a victim. And by choosing to be a victim is not taking responsibility for your choices. It's laying them off that he did it to me. They did it. Poor me. Boo. But the universe looks at that as pure bullshit. They laugh at it. That's the reality. There are no victims. There are only volunteers. I mean, look at it in the U.S. I mean, in the politics around the world. And then, you know, look at the New World Order, for example. People, were, if you choose to stick your head in, as an ostrich into the sand and not listen and be aware of things that are going around you, if you choose not to request free energy, you're the victim. Now you are the victim. Poo-hoo. If you choose not to stand up and believe in yourself, if you choose to be a victim, you just volunteered it. If somebody runs out in the street and pulls you over and sticks a gun on your head and robs you and, God forbid, kills you or maims you or something else, I hate to tell you, that is, in a reality, volunteerism on the spiritual realm. It was co-created. Maybe you consciously weren't aware of it, but in, when you were in the embodiment, there was that window to learn and experience that for some reason that the soul must learn to deal with. And not only that soul to reflect upon it, but the souls around it that are affected by it both indirectly and directly because then that teaches them. So that's why I say co-creation. See, we're all sort of together, sort of weird. It's like there's like sort of a gray area. There's a co-creation amongst the universe and ourselves, and but the effects of it, of the information and the learning experience and the healing is both within the individual soul, but also the souls around it, since we're all connected. So the groups that, like I said, they chose, and therefore there's a reaction. Remember, for every action, there's a reaction. But there it is. That's the action. Your action is choice. The reaction is what happens off the choice. And every moment, every second, every millimeter, every little instant, there's a choice. So please, in the reality, do not play the pity thing. Because playing the pity thing, you just made another choice. And you will have the reaction of that. You just volunteered again. You are your own director. You are your own producer. You are your own writer in this movie. And by the way, this includes all souls, whether about the pity thing. If people want peace, they don't teach hate. They don't put the blame thing. They don't go, oh, he stole my land, or this is my land, and that. It's bullshit. If people want peace, they teach love to their kids, and they put their hands out. For every action, there's a reaction. If people want to stand up to their government, say, enough of the bullshit, we don't want to take it no more, they can do it, or they can play victimhood. It's choice. There are no victims. You can make excuses, but that excuse you just made is another voluntary choice. There are no victims again. And like I said, the universe will just react to your pity with more of the victimhood cause. That's what you want. So if you want to stand up and grow, and it may hurt, it may be painful, it may be the most trying thing of events. That is what it is, an experience. It is the opportunity for you to grow, to love, to heal. Most important, of course, the experience. Because when you die and you go back and you come back again, you don't take your Mercedes with you or your beat up Rambler. They don't even make those anymore. You don't take physical things with you. You only take your experiences with you. Those experiences are always attached upon you. You know, when people do readings, that's what they're reading around you, your experiences around you. They're almost like attachments. There's always, that energy is always attached to you. Sorry. I still got a cough in my throat. Still got that little frog. Every now and then I got to drink something here and there. So like I said, humanity has been playing the victim thing, like I said. And they play it in a lot of different ways. And it's both illogical and pure BS. It's again playing the pure victim thing out of choice. It's the idea that he died for my sins. Pure bullshit. We need someone to save us. We need a Messiah or a Savior to save us, to save me. What? Again, you're playing the victim? Now, this has been pushed down your throat or maybe thrown around your brain or choices, but this is also, you've chosen to accept it. You've chosen to accept these illogical, misconformed, pure bullshit ideologies that have nowhere of shape or form of reality in the universe. They're both an illusionary crap to manipulate. But you can choose to be the victim of it. You can choose to be the victim of every cleric. You can be the told, hey, if I go and do jihad and kill a million infidels, I'm going to go see a bunch of virgins in the heavens above and yada yada. Or it's my way or the highway. Or convert everyone to be, see our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. As it being fed to the victimization of organized religions. Of course, then you chose it. And you volunteer the reactions of it. It is not coincidental. There are things for every action. There's a reaction. And you can't come back and say, I need a Savior or a Messiah to save me. Again, you don't need a white knight to save you one day. Bullshit. It's like people saying, oh, Obama is our hope. Again, victimization. Playing the victim game. The poor me. Oh, but what'd you just do? You volunteered. You just volunteered, chose to be a victim. Because again, there in reality, there are no victims, only volunteers. That is both in the reality of this realm as well as in the reality of the universe, in the spiritual text. You created it, thus you endure it. Now, I know some of them are going to be, wait a second, what about all those poor innocent souls in 9/11 and all those other tragic events? Again, co-creation. Think about it. What was the 9/11? As hard as it was, first of all, souls don't perish. So they continue on and on and on. We in reality think they, you know, the body's gone, but in reality the soul just continues on. But in 9/11, what was the response to 9/11? Whatever, I don't want to get into conspiracy stuff or whatever, it doesn't matter. The fact is it happened. But what was the response? Well, the initial response was people coming together. Because it didn't matter what color, what race, what ethnicity, what God you believe in or whatever. They died. 3,000 souls were left their embodiments. And then there are subsequent others who left because of the effects, you know, the dust and all that stuff. Don't want to get into that. But what was the first thing that happened? People came together. Humanity came, become realizing we're all the same. They unified. They unified even against the hatred. But then what did they do? They took another choice. Instead of triumphing of unity, now this is our choice because of George Bush, but also of all the world, which of course led into Iraq and all that, but it became the fear thing. Instead of being forefront and standing up to certain situations, it was utilized to project fear, to manipulate, to help control more people, to control you, me, the masses. They have like a big brother, every eye in every corner. The Patriot Act was invented. The overkill. The separations, the divisions amongst people instead of unity. See, we have our choices. We can choose one way or the other way. That was an opportunity, but guess what? We didn't learn it. Or humanity didn't learn it, let me put it that way. Which includes me and everybody else, because we're all together in this big boat. So yes, those events were co-created. They may have been, we in the, on this realm that we see, we can't see it, but if you go on the other side, it was definitely preconditioned, set up a boundary. This is a vortex. This is about to happen. This is why certain things are read in prophetically in the future, because certain things are meant to happen at a certain point, because they're, the, what a prophecy is at this moment in time, 100 years from here, 50 years, if we continue on this road, that's where we're heading. That's what's called prophecy. Now, if we turn and make a choice to, let's say, go left and different routes, that may have changed the destiny. May have. Because there's some things that are just absolute, because it's part of the co-creation of the universe, our souls, and ourselves. Again, all co-created. Again, these are all karmic events. And again, the souls never perish. They just experience. It's like my dad used to say, only the survivors are sad when the dead, well, they are just that. And I never understood that. I was a kid when he said that, and I didn't understand that. And he says, realize, the only ones who cry at funerals are the survivors. The dead aren't crying. Of course, we don't know that, right? You would say, come on, why would they cry? How would you know? Because they haven't gone anywhere. Their souls still exist. Of course, this is a quantum fact that souls are indeed there. The 21 grams. Quantum physics has already showed us, demonstrate that on the scientific way, as besides, of course, the esoterics, that they're indeed souls and we are all connected. And there are many multiple levels of the realms or dimensions in space and time, whatever, the antimatter, the matter. But what are these? These are opportunities for us to grow, to learn. To learn to love ourselves and, of course, all humanity and Earth. To learn to love unconditionally, without conditions. Because if you add a condition to something, or then therefore you place an agenda on it, it's not really love, is it? It's a price tag. And you just it's like a hooker, right? And that's not real. To love unconditionally is without conditions. And that's like pretty hard. Nobody, it's the strive for. Not saying everybody can do it. It's, I can't, I tried to unconditionally live that son of a bitch, but I can't. Well, try. That's all you can do is effort, to have a try. If you have effort, that's the whole thing, try. You know? Because when you get to the point where you're unconditionally able to love every absolute thing, your vibration will be so high you would not be able to come into this embodiment at this realm, in this earth. You'll just, what they call, spin off. So anyway, like I said, these are opportunities to grow, to learn, to love ourselves and all humanity and earth as well. Unconditionally, we, all volunteered to enter into these embodiments, to choose our parents, our lovers, our experiences, our opportunities to better ourselves, our opportunities to choose once again, our reaction to our experiences once again, volunteered actions, the reactions to our prior choices, our prior reactions, all volunteerism, all volunteered. It is the tikkun, the karma events that happen as the subsequence. For every action is a reaction, which is the karma. You know, it's like a whole circle. We start again. And we go through these little circles until we get it right. It's like a lesson. Once you learn the lesson, you move forward. Now, so every now and then, you'll get a refresher course to make sure you really got the lesson. And then you go, well, I've been through this. Have you ever gotten it? I've been through that. I know what to do. And it's sort of funny because when you talk about, say, older people who've experienced, and they call love the wise, and they've experienced and they roll their eyes and laugh, yeah, young man, I was there. I remember, young lady, I was there. Because they've experienced it. And it's the same thing in the universe as we relearn. Now, I was going to go back to something else about we pick our embodiments. What about the people who, you know, we volunteer, you know, there's people who pick to be in the situations that are very harsh, let's say. Some people, they picked a lifetime that's, let's say, you would call mediocre, if you want to call it that. I don't call, like, things mediocre or average or whatever. Or some people, let's say, in economical terms, middle class, upper class. What about people who are like the Paris Hiltons, the multi, born into very, very wealthy families? What is their karma? How come they get to be it? Well, that soul decided to try to live the cruise on, but they also have karma coming with that, too. You think that the soul that came in through Paris Hilton was, okay, hey, you know what? You did so great. I decided to give you a pass. You can cruise on the cool life. Well, part of it is, you know, maybe the cool, you have an easier life that time. But it's also what you do with it. Right? And what has she done with it? If you are born in a situation or embark on a situation that materially you are well taken care of beyond your needs, what do you do with it? Do you selfishly just buy yourself a couple more yachts? Do you selfishly buy the most more and more and more like you are ever going to see it? If you're a star, such as a J-Lo or Jay-Z or any of those rock and roller or hip-hop artists or actress or producer, then you may be a celebrity. How much do they really, really need? See, they're giving us opportunity. What do they do with it? Do they do like it's Angelina Jolie or Brad Pitt, and they go, let's see, I'm going to go try to help out the people who are in situations with no homes in or New Orleans, or go to Africa and help kids who are starving, even adopt a few. People can say what they want maybe about Angelina Jolie, but I have to say that, hell, at least she's utilized her celebrity tim and her opportunity to make it a better, whatever you say, better situation to try to heal in some situation. That would be the proper way of doing things. And not with for expectations, because aren't, you know, the best deed that someone can do is to do something without expectations. They do it just for doing it. Now, not a lot of people are in those circumstances that can actually help in that kind of situation as those who are been have the economical substance to go to do what they want to do like that. So you can do in different ways. First, you got to heal yourself. Can't heal yourself, you can't really heal too many other people, can you? In other words, get your own crap together. Rediscover yourself. You know, which is very, not that hard to look at, in a sense. I remember somebody had asked me, this was a little while back, you know, about people in reference to rediscovering yourselves. I was going to do a whole show about it, but I don't know, I may do one, but I mean, it's pretty simple. So I have Facebook, and I posted on Facebook, and just some things I thought, and I actually was going to post it on my blog site too, which is attached to my new website, which I just started putting stuff. But here, let me read it to you, what I think. Rediscovering yourself. Many obscured of not knowing who they are. Many walk like drones, even lost souls. Many will be searching for the path to find themselves, as if there is such a path to discovery, when there really isn't one. There is a mirror, and it is within your heart. Rediscovery of oneself is the first step. Without it, you will drown in your journey. You will be carried from the wave to wave upon the ocean's current, washed ashore until you get it. So wiggle your toe. It always starts with the first step. Rediscover yourself. It's simple. It is unconditionally loving oneself. Realize the beauty within your soul, hence the rediscovery. Thus begins the knowing and understanding of oneself. And what that was referenced is the beginning. That is part of the opportunity. That is not playing the victim. That's one round to do it. If you're in a harder situation, maybe to take away all the material bases, all the things that get to who you really are, spiritually within you, in order to get to the reality. Because a lot of floating souls out here in this universe, in this realm called Earth, they have no effing clue what the hell they are. And they'll be going from one path to another. They'll be trying from, you know, from one Maoism of Christianity, Islam, Judaism. They'll jump to Buddhism, Taoism. They'll start performing Hinduism. They'll do yoga in 400 ways. They'll go look at Wiccan. They're trying to find. They're trying to search. I'm searching for the philosophy. They'll go listen to seminars. They'll go listen to events. But it's all within you. You're running around like a chicken without a head, and the answer is always in you. And this is also part of getting back to, there are no victims, only volunteers. It's getting back to your choice. To learn, experience for yourself. And part of that is one of the experiences to rediscover who you are as a soul. We're all a matrix. We're all different. We're all yet connected. And you start there, and then you realize how we're all connected. Start the individuality, how really beautiful soul each and every one is. You start in the very beginning. You connect with everybody else. You look at things with a muse, because you can laugh at things. Part of our nature is to laugh. It's one of the things. You know? That is what is meant when you enter the heavens as a child. You become a child with laughter. You take things at ease. You take things at ease. That's what Buddha meant by there's no way to happiness. Happiness is the way. There's no path to run around to find it. It's not a money or some lighting of mantras or mantras or doing 400 meditations. That's good to keep you grounded and other stuff, you know, and all that other stuff. But to rediscover, to know who your inner self and understandings are, that is not going to take you there, sorry. That only helps you the vibrational. It's like putting some medicine, but it's not getting there. The getting there is just going straight to you. There's no trick. There's no magic. And everybody's at their own step to finding it, but it's right there. It's really simple, and it starts with one little step. It's one reason why you're in these embodiments. Besides, of course, fixing your tikkun, fixing the karmic events, because that is part of us. That is part of you. That is what is meant. The bina, the understanding. With that comes the knowledge, the chokhmah of yourselves, the universe, how we're all connected. It's all related. So you don't have to be the victim, because you can choose to be the victim, because, again, you're always a volunteer. You're always choosing in one form or another, whether on the other side of the universe, in your own mind, consciously or unconsciously, it's choice. Collectively or individually, it's by choice. With the universe, it's called co-creation, choice, and volunteerism. It is indeed for us to giving us the opportunity to learn to love. So simple, isn't it? Love. Love ourselves, just what I was talking about, the rediscovering ourselves. Loving all realms around us. Loving the animals, nature, your fellow man, woman. Even the person who's a, you know, you think is an enemy or something vicious or someone who's ready to kill you, you know what? That's their way. You don't have to sit there and go, hey, I'm about to go ahead and shoot me, because you just volunteered. You can defend yourself. You have every right to defend yourself, because there aren't, again, no victims, or try to defend yourself. But using your own... Anyway, it is indeed many opportunities of our experience to learn to love. And that is bottom line. I mean, like I said, it's not rocket science. Spirituality has never been complex. I had somebody ask me the other day, he says, God, and he's devoutly trying to learn Judaism and all that, and I says, it's so complex. The rabbis make it so complex. And I says, because they purposely do. All organized religion, all the clerics purposely make things complex. From whether it's Hinduism, yoga, Wiccan, all these people, they're all making everything so damn complex, and it really isn't. It's like so they have job security. They make it complex so that you have to come to them to interpret. They're the interpreters. Oh, you don't know. Let me explain to you. Oh, you don't know. You explain. And that's why I say to you, when you hear my words, listen for yourself. That's why I say rediscover yourself from within yourself. That's for you. That's your own reflection. Trust yourselves. Learn for yourselves. Don't just take my word. Reinvestigate, look in, search the realms. Be the Star Trek. Anyway, I want to thank you all for listening once again. And I apologize for my throat. I apologize for last week, for we had some technical difficulties. Again, next week I'll have Carrie Feza, and I look forward to that analysis. And I'm going to close with a very special song called Asia by Susan Tony, who my thoughts and prayers go out to her. She is presently in the hospital. She had a heart attack, and she was once on my show a little over a year ago. And God bless her soul, and I hope she heals and comes to a speedy recovery. She is a great, great woman, who highly spiritually and very much a loving, warm woman, a great soul. And with that, I close with Asia. And God bless you all, and have a beautiful and blessed weekend. Thank you. Until next time. Next.